Chapter 7. She Returns into Hands. Tobirama is halfway through his morning mug of tea, brewed so bitter that it's bracing, when he hears a distant knock. He ignores it, seeing as it's most likely Izuna come to throw himself at Toka again. Were he a better man, Tobirama would go out, intercept the Uchiha, and warn him that in no way, shape, or form is Toka a morning person. She tends to sleep past noon whenever possible, and waking her prematurely often leaves the unsuspecting with an urgent need to visit a medic. Tobirama has gotten very, very good at disappearing whenever people start searching for volunteers for that particular task. Given that he is decidedly not a better man, Tobirama instead wonders absently if there's a discreet place from which to spectate. He's just in the process of reluctantly deciding that it's a little too risky to attempt when the door of his room slides open without fanfare or knocking. But after living with Hashirama and being friends with Toka all his life, Tobirama hardly expects such courtesy anymore. Arching a brow, he studies his cousin, who looks 20 seconds from grisly murder, as she lists heavily in the doorway. "God damn all you mourning people," she hisses, sounding as though the state is personally offensive. "Get your ass out of here and shut him up, little cousin, or I'll do it myself." With blunt force trauma, if nothing else, Tobirama is sure. Toka's taijutsu is a fearsome thing, even without chakra to augment it, but she has a habit of defaulting to fists whenever she's annoyed. Their teacher always despaired of her, mostly, Tobirama thinks wryly as he rises, because she's always made it work. And unless they're familiar with her, people never see the punch coming. "Of course," he says mildly. "I'm sorry for waking you. I had assumed it was Izuna." "Izuna was explicitly informed of what would happen to him if he disturbed me before a reasonable hour of the morning," Toka retorts waspishly, and then turns on her heels and stalks towards the front of the house. Tobirama follows at a safe distance, wondering whether she really thinks that will keep Izuna at a distance. Given the look on the Uchiha's face during their meeting, he feels his skepticism is entirely justified. Still, he knows better than to say anything of the sort, and lets Toka retreat into her bedroom without calling her back. The front door is still standing partway open, but Toka apparently couldn't be bothered to recall her manners and invite their guest in, and Tobirama strangles an aggravated sigh as he crosses to open it fully. "Forgive my cousin," he says, the words entirely rote by now, and then stops, blinking at empty air. Automatically, his eyes drop, and he's met with a bright, happy smile. Clearly, this is the reason Toka looks even more irritated than usual. She's never been able to stand cheerful people before 10 in the morning at the absolute earliest. As the sun is just now touching the horizon, they're very lucky she didn't just start swinging. Still, Tobirama's been awake long enough that he himself is fully coherent, and he offers a small smile as he goes down to one knee. "Kagami," he says, with much more honest pleasure. "Good morning. You're up very early."
"Good morning,"
Kagami answers cheerfully, reaching out and grabbing Tobirama's hand in both of his.
"I always get up this early. The birds start talking, and I like to listen to them."
"The boy's poor mother," Tobirama thinks, amused. "That's a healthy habit to have," he responds. "I enjoy sunrises myself."
"Yep,"
Kagami agrees. He tugs on Tobirama's hand a little.
"Do you want to come see the kittens now? Your cousin's home, so it's okay, right?"
Tobirama hesitates, casting a glance past Kagami towards the edges of the property. But though he knows there are guards nearby, he can't see them. And his sensing ability is still deadened by the seals on the house. "Wouldn't your mother object?" he asks, mostly to buy time. "She might not want a stranger in her house."
"She won't care,"
Kagami insists, cheerfully certain.
She says as long as I let her sleep until the sun is up and I don't burn the village down, she doesn't care what I do.
That sounds more like a parent's desperate attempt to get another hour of sleep, rather than blanket permission, in Tobirama's opinion. And he has to hide a smile. Perhaps I can interest you in a cup of tea before we go? He suggests. There's no need for that, a new voice interjects, and Tobirama glances up towards the source to find Izuna's frequent companion, the brown-haired Uchiha with a short ponytail, walking towards them with a faintly long-suffering expression.
Kagami, you know you're not supposed to bother people.
Kagami pouts even as he turns, still clinging to Tobirama. But Hikaku!
It's fine, Tobirama assures the man, rising from his crouch. He's not a bother.
You're just about the only one who would think so, Hikaku says, but it's very fond as he rests a hand on the boy's head.
A pause, and then he glances up at Tobirama, assessing. If you're putting him off because you don't want to leave without telling anyone, I can escort you.
Instantly, Kagami brightens. Yeah! He crows excitedly. Come on, please! I want to show you the kittens!
Startled, Tobirama meets sharp black eyes, trying to read the Uchiha's motivation in making such an offer. Then he looks down at Kagami, who's beaming unabashedly, and can't resist. With a small chuckle, he inclines his head to the boy.
I would be honored. Thank you, Kagami. And you as well, Uchiha.
Hikaku, the other man corrects, a flash of a faintly wry smile, and he adds, between your cousin and Izuna, I get the feeling we'll be seeing quite a bit more of each other, Senju.
Tobirama, he returns, and then offers an equally dry. And I believe you're correct, at least as long as Toka doesn't break his neck while she's showing off for him.
Hikaku laughs, clearly startled, and steps back so that Tobirama can pull on his sandals and join them outside.
Unfortunately, I don't even think that would turn Izuna off, he admits. Or Toka, Tobirama mutters, even though he's probably safe from his cousin's eavesdropping right now.
He casts one last glance at her room, decides it's not worth risking life and limb to tell her that he's leaving, especially when he'll likely be back long before she's conscious, and joins the two Uchiha outside. Hikaku pauses at the edge of the porch, craning his neck to speak in low tones with the kunoichi crouched there. But before Tobirama can hesitate, Kagami grabs his hand and pulls him onward.
My sister said I could keep one of the kittens, the boy says excitedly. Do you want to help me pick out which one?
Tobirama glances down at the tiny hand wrapped in his, feels the faint tug of a small body, and for one moment is impossibly, unspeakably grateful that Madara is trying so hard for peace. In 10 years, in 8, Kagami will be old enough to join his clan on the battlefield, and while Tobirama knows himself, knows that he'll do his duty no matter what, he doesn't want to kill this boy. Never wants to kill another child. He's a good shinobi, able to bury his feelings and wield a kunai regardless of his own opinion. And he knows that once a child reaches 13 or 14, they're considered an adult, but... There have been too many small corpses left behind, even though both Madara and Hashirama try to keep the youngest out of harm's way. For all Hashirama's accusations that Tobirama is too quick to draw his sword, Tobirama has never wanted to add to that count.
I think, he manages finally, that it should be your choice. It will be your cat, after all.
Seeing the edges of a pout forming, he offers Kagami another small smile and adds,
but I'll be very happy to see which one you pick.
Kagami beams, bouncing closer so that he can walk next to Tobirama without ever releasing his hand.
I'm gonna train it to be a shinobi cat, he announces. It can wear a bandana with the Uchiha fan and carry a kunai and help me be the best shinobi ever.
The image is enough to make Tobirama chuckle.
Perhaps a senbon would be better, he suggests. or ninja wire. A kunai might be too heavy, unless it's a very big cat.
Ninja wire!
Kagami leaps on the suggestion.
It can run around and tangle people up and then come back and sit on my head, and I'll do a big fireball and we'll win!
Breathe, Kagami. Hikaku reminds him, but he's smiling as well as he falls into step. Try talking in sentences rather than paragraphs.
Kagami sticks his tongue out at the other Uchiha. You're mean, Hikaku,
he complains, half hanging on Tobirama's arm as he leans around him to make faces at the man. And you're rude, Hikaku retorts. Tobirama is a guest of the clan, not a climbing wall. Stop being a nuisance.
Seeing wide black eyes getting bigger and taking on a faint glossy sheen, Tobirama casts Hikaku an annoyed look and then glances down at his companion.
You're not, he assures the boy, and then hesitates. He usually makes the offer to the Senju children he knows, and they are always enthusiastic, but he isn't sure if it would be crossing a line with an Uchiha.
Would you like to ride on my back? You can direct us more easily from there. Hikaku's eyebrows fly up, his mouth quirking in what is clearly a suppressed grin, but he says nothing. Kagami, however, practically vibrates with enthusiasm, bouncing in place as he cries,
Yes! Nae-san says I'm too big, so she doesn't let me anymore, but I really like being up high, so thank you, Tobirama!
Apparently, the clan's stoicism is a learned thing rather than a genetic one, Tobirama thinks in amusement, crouching in the street. You are very big, he allows, and swallows a chuckle at the beaming smile he gets in response. As long as it's not too far, however, I think I can manage.
Kagami wastes no time in throwing himself at Tobirama and latching on like a monkey, wrapping his arms around Tobirama's neck and his legs around his ribs. Curving one arm under him to steady him, Tobirama carefully rises to his feet, gritting his teeth a little as the lacerations on his arm pull uncomfortably. It's a small pain, though, easily ignorable, and he puts it out of his mind.
That way, the boy declares, pointing straight in front of them. We live out by the cherry trees.
Obediently, Tobirama starts walking, and pointedly doesn't look over at his other companion. Apparently, not catching the fact that he's being ignored, Hikaku watches him for a moment, smiling a little, and then turns his eyes ahead, tucking his hands into the sleeves of his yukata.
You always look so dignified on the battlefield, he says, clearly amused. I don't think I could have imagined something like this even if I tried.
Perhaps you should stop attempting, then, Tobirama retorts, though for the most part he doesn't care. His dignity has survived far worse than giving a 6-year-old a piggyback ride. After all, he did grow up with Hashirama, who is practically the antithesis of poise.
You've seen him on a battlefield?
Kagami chimes in, listing forward over Tobirama's right shoulder to get a look at his clansman's face.
Were you fighting together? Was it a big battle? Is he as strong as you?
Hikaku rolls his eyes.
We weren't fighting together, he answers. At least one of the times it was a big battle, and no, he's stronger than me. Stronger than Izuna, even.
Kagami's eyes go wide with what looks like awe, but Tobirama keeps his gaze fixed ahead of them. There are a handful of people in the street, all of whom seem to have decided they're going to take as many glances at the trio as they can before they're caught staring. Tobirama ignores them, mostly because he can't think of anything else to do.
It was luck, he says shortly. Luck and planning. Izuna and I are evenly matched, but he hadn't seen my new jutsu yet and was unprepared to counter it.
One could argue that because you had something new and he didn't, it counts as outmatching him.
Hikaku counters mildly, then shifts the subject and asks,
What was that jutsu, if you don't mind me asking? I've never seen anything like it.
What jutsu?
Kagami demands excitedly,
And Tobirama has to snap a hand up to catch him as he practically goes tumbling to the side.
Was it like a fireball? A fire tornado?
Tobirama laughs before he can help it, because he remembers Kawarama's awe the first time he managed a jutsu. Remembers the immediate litany of every awesome jutsu that he was going to attempt, regardless of logic or human limits. In the face of Kagami's bright grin, the memory only stings a little. One of the reasons Tobirama tries to surround himself with children whenever his thoughts get too dark.
That would be difficult, he answers. I have no talent with fire, but I can make a water dragon.
A big one, Hikaku adds helpfully, grinning. Big enough to swallow one of Izuna's fireballs whole. A sideways look at Tobirama, and he admits, I caught a glimpse of his face the first time you did that, and nearly got gutted since I was laughing too hard to block. Tobirama is vaguely disappointed he missed it.
The steam was too thick to see it, he laments. A shame.
Laughing, Hikaku shakes his head. I'm sure there will be other chances. Izuna likes to appear calm and dignified, but he's... apparently at a loss for words. He just waves a hand. Like around your cousin. He flails, and he still manages to make it look charming. Tobirama makes a vaguely skeptical noise, but otherwise keeps his peace. He'll wait to see the outcome of the situation before he starts making comments.
But what about the jutsu?
Kagami complains. I want to hear about that. Was it cool? Amused, Tobirama glances back, raising an eyebrow at the boy.
I think so, he says dryly. But that's likely because I invented it.
It was like teleportation, Hikaku adds, seeing the boy's aggravated expression. Tobirama was facing Izuna, and then, when he attacked, Tobirama stepped, and suddenly he was behind Izuna.
More like a summoning, Tobirama corrects. I lay a marking on an object or a person, then activate the jutsu. It creates a fold in spatial distance, which allows the original marked object to act as an independent pocket dimension so that a streamlined summoning can take place.
There's a moment of silence before Hikaku rolls his eyes.
You lost me at marking, he admits,
and then, seeing Tobirama about to open his mouth again, adds, but it's a summoning. I got that part. I'm guessing the speed comes from the streamlined bit? That is, at the very least, far more than Hashirama has ever been able to pick out of his explanations. Admittedly, Tobirama all but stopped trying to simplify them for his brother when he was 12. It never did much good, regardless.
Exactly. Barriers and wards can't exclude it either, because the matrices are entirely opposed to a simple transportation.
Seeing the patient stare Hikaku is giving him, he breaks off with a huff and rolls his eyes right back. A Shushin is basic movement given a sudden burst of speed, even if it looks like teleportation. He clarifies, it can be blocked even with simple barriers. The Flying Thunder God can't be, because it relies on the basic theories of summoning.
Interesting.
Hikaku leads them off the main street and down a row of neat houses all sporting cherry trees in their courtyards.
And you invented it?
Tobirama shrugs as much as he's able to with Kagami still draped over his shoulders.
The Shushin frustrated me, he admits. I was attempting to improve it when the idea came to me.
Kasan!
Kagami cries, wiggling in Tobirama's grip as he tries to leap down.
Kasan! Tobirama came to see the kittens with me!
Wincing as the boy slides over his bandaged arms, Tobirama drops into a crouch to let Kagami jump down. A moment later, the boy is bolting down the road, to where a faintly aggrieved-looking woman is just setting aside a shopping basket. She catches Kagami as he throws himself at her, giving him a hug and a small smile. Then she straightens to regard Tobirama warily.
Hikaku, she offers calmly. Senju, I apologize for my son.
Good morning, Aya. And don't worry, he hasn't been any trouble.
Hikaku returns. With a chuckle, she ruffles Kagami's hair, even as he protests. He's always trouble. Please, come in. Would you like some tea? The water should still be hot. Her gaze lingers on Tobirama. But though there's caution in her eyes, there's no coldness. Even so, Tobirama is wary. He's interacted with very few of the Uchiha outside of Madara and Izuna, and though he has yet to see any overt hostility, he's braced for it all the same. He follows behind Hikaku as the woman leads them into a neatly kept house, and then into the main room. Kagami, go wake up your sister, she orders as they take their seats. Remind her that she has duties in an hour. Seeing him open his mouth, she cuts him off with, after that, you can show our guests the kittens, I promise. Kay, Kagami agrees cheerfully, and bolts down the hall, starting to shout as he reaches the corner. That should keep him occupied for a while, Hikaku says with a chuckle. Is Yui still as resistant to getting up as I remember? The woman sighs, brushing back a lock of dark hair as she carries the tea tray out to them. Of course, she says a little wryly. She takes after me that way. Kagami, unfortunately, takes after Dai. She glances up at Tobirama through long lashes, even as she sets the cups out, and adds calmly, Dai was my husband. He was killed by a Senju shinobi right before I found out I was pregnant with Kagami. Tobirama goes stiff. He doesn't quite flinch away when she leans over to set his cup in front of him, even though a part of him wants to. Apparently seeing his reaction, the woman just shakes her head. The tea's not poisoned. I'm a better host than that, she chides, lifting her own cup to take a careful sip. I saw Dai fall, and I killed the men who had killed him. And then a girl, no more than 14, tried to kill me because I had slain her father. This time when she looks up, she meets Tobirama's eyes squarely, and there's no hostility in their dark depths, only weariness and an old grief that wears at the edges like water over a stone. I've raised my children alone, she says bluntly. It's been very hard, Senju, but I've never forgotten the look on that girl's face, or that in the space of a moment I might have made her an orphan. It's been hard, and I'm tired, but I've never been as tired of anything as I am of this damn war. So thank you for saving Izuna. We're all better for it. Tobirama doesn't allow himself to turn away, holding her gaze. A hesitation, and then he says quietly, I was the one to wound him in the first place. At that, the woman smiles, small but honest. Yes, she agrees. That was war. But what you did afterwards, that's why you'll find so much support among the Uchiha. It was unnecessary, unasked for, and unexpected. We honor bravery and sacrifice for the good of the many. You came to make amends when no one had even thought of such a thing. In the face of that, well, thank you. There's a twist in Tobirama's chest, something tense but not unpleasant, and he silently inclines his head, unsure of what else to say. I look forward to the end of the war, he manages at last. And Hashirama might be surprised, but it's very much true. Too many have died on both sides. She nods, takes a sip, and then asks bluntly, Is it true that your brother sent you here to die? Hikaku chokes on his mouthful of tea and starts coughing. Aya! He manages to get out between wheezes. Aya looks unrepentant. But before she can say anything, there's a cry of distress, and Tobirama only just manages to hang onto his cup as a small body barrels into him. Kagami all but latches onto him, arms locking around his neck, and demands, Is that true? Tobirama, we won't let you die! Don't worry! Tobirama sighs, trying to decide whether to pry the boy off of him. In the end, he simply raises an arm, gently looping it around Kagami's shoulders. He most certainly didn't, he says, rolling his eyes at the unimpressed expressions he receives from both of the other adults. Brother had no idea what I was planning. Kagami pulls back to regard him seriously. I've got an extra futon in my room, he offers solemnly. You can sleep there if you don't want to go back home, Tobirama. Ka-san said she's okay with me having my friends over, and I don't mind sharing. That makes Tobirama smile.
Thank you, he says, just as somber. I appreciate the offer, Kagami. However, my cousin would be sad if I didn't keep her company.
The boy wrinkles his nose.
The scary lady from this morning?
Yes, Tobirama confirms with a faint sigh. She's very scary, isn't she?
Aya chuckles softly.
I take it this is the one Izuna is so enamored with?
She asks dryly.
The clan's been laying some very interesting odds on them.
Tobirama doesn't even try to feel surprised that the Uchiha are currently making bets on Izuna and Toka's relationship. Honestly, were they back at the Senju compound, his clan would be doing the same.
If you're planning to place a bet, he says, rolling his eyes, you should be aware that I caught her dithering over her clothes last night, trying to decide which outfit showed off her muscles the best.
And, Hikaku adds, perfectly innocent, as he hides a wicked grin behind his teacup, Izuna was doing the same. He's also doubled his training since she got here. Not, of course, that that has anything to do with the situation.
Tobirama snorts softly. How sweet of him. He's making it a challenge for her to beat him up. I'm sure Toka will be very appreciative.
Hikaku laughs. She's third in your clan, isn't she? He asks interestedly. I've heard her genjutsus can rival anything cast by the Sharingan, but not much else.
She is, Tobirama confirms. Toka doesn't like to make her abilities widely known, so that she has an advantage, but she's very strong. She's the one who taught me taijutsu.
Aya's brows rise, and she looks contemplative.
I wonder if she'd care to spar, she says thoughtfully. I've been off the battle roster since Kagami was born, but taijutsu is my specialty, and I've kept up with it for guard duty. It would be nice to face someone equally skilled.
To find another Kunoichi who specializes in hand-to-hand? She'll be ecstatic. Careful! On instinct, Tobirama jerks back just in time to avoid the dark head that nearly collides with his chin, as Kagami, apparently bored of the conversation, attempts to wriggle out of his lap.
Oops!
Kagami says cheerfully, then grabs his hand again and starts tugging.
Come on! I want to show you the kittens! They're awake right now so we can look at them!
Kagami?
Aya warns, but Tobirama just smiles a little as he sets down his tea and rises to his feet.
Thank you, he says solemnly. I would love to, Kagami.
The boy laughs, leading him down the hall and around a corner, where the door stands half open.
Here!
He exclaims.
Ka-san got kinda mad because they were all born on our best blanket, but it's really soft and Kuri likes it best, so I think it's okay just this once.
Carefully, Tobirama kneels down beside him, glancing through the opening to see a chestnut-colored cat stretched out and purring softly, contentedly kneading at the blanket with her claws. Four kittens, only a few weeks old, totter around her on unsteady paws, and the clumsy movements make Tobirama smile a little.
They're beautiful, he says quietly.
Yeah.
Kagami sounds faintly awed. He reaches out, stroking one finger down the spine of the closest, a little orange tabby, and then looks up at Tobirama with a wide smile.
Last night, Ka-san said we can hold them if Kuri doesn't mind. Would you like to?
The Senju compound is home to several strays, but Tobirama hasn't had a cat of his own since his childhood pet died. He's fond of cats, partly because he can see something of himself in them. So he reaches forward and lets his hand rest on the top of the cloth. The mother cat gives him a lazy look, but doesn't move. A moment later, a kitten that looks more like a ball of silvery fluff than anything nearly trips over his fingers, decides his skin smells interesting, and clambers onto his palm.
She likes you! Kagami cheers softly. My sister calls that one Hime.
A very suitable name.
Tobirama cautiously lifts the kitten to eye level, and she studies him with kitten blue eyes for a moment before rearing back in the cup of his hand and taking a daring swipe at his fingers. With a chuckle, Tobirama strokes her head gently, then sets her down. Kagami is cradling the orange one to his chest, smiling brightly.
Is that one your favorite?
Yeah, I want to name him Katon, but Kasan said it would make the other kittens laugh at him, so I call him Momo instead, because he looks like a peach, right?
The plump kitten is currently curled up and chewing on his finger, and Tobirama admits that the resemblance is almost uncanny.
It's a good name, he agrees, smiling. He will make a good partner for a strong ninja.
Kagami grins, clearly pleased.
We are going to be the best, he agrees proudly. You should take Hime, and then you don't have to bother you snow leopards when you need help. She can do it for them.
I think for now she needs to stay with her mother, Tobirama reminds him. She's very little, so it would be cruel to separate them.
Maybe later,
Kagami agrees, letting Momo wobble out of his cupped hands and then back over to the mother. Then he bounces to his feet, all bright enthusiasm and good cheer, and offers,
Do you want to see my room? Oh, maybe you can show me your water dragon jutsu? Or the teleporting one? Or maybe my sister can teach you a fire jutsu, since she's really good with them. She hasn't almost burned down the house in weeks!
Chuckling, Tobirama lets himself be dragged along.
If you're looking for my cousin, he was kidnapped by one of your brats, Toka says as soon as she opens the door to find Madara on the other side. And if you're here to warn me off your brother, you're an idiot.
I don't have any brats, Madara retorts, folding his arms over his chest. And in regards to my brother, it's his own business who he makes a fool of himself in front of. I'm hardly about to stop him. Toka stares at him judgmentally for another moment, then nods, apparently satisfied. She steps out, ignoring her sandals, and joins Madara on the porch.
All right, so what is it then? Tobirama left just after dawn, so I can't imagine he'll be much longer. But if you want to leave a message with me, I'll let him know.
Madara hesitates, but at length decides that seeing as the only thing waiting for him is paperwork, he can stand to linger for a few minutes. I'll wait, thank you, he manages, mostly polite, and moves to take a seat on the steps. After a moment, Toka joins him, sinking down gracefully and crossing her arms on her bent knees.
You know, you aren't nearly as much of a bastard as I thought you would be, she says, and it's almost a complaint. I expected a lot more shouting and death threats, honestly.
A good portion of that happened before you arrived, Madara admits. The situation right now is hopeful.
Toka smiles a little, turning her gaze on the garden. It is, she agrees, and laughs. I can't say I ever expected to be sitting in the Uchiha compound, or walking around with a clan head's heir. There's a pause, and then she sighs. Thank you for sparing Tobirama. I know you only did it because he saved Izuna, but you could have killed him anyway, and you didn't. I helped raise him, and he's dearer to me than anyone else, so I'm grateful.
Tobirama raises a brow at her, surprised. He'd realized that Tobirama and Toka were close, of course, but hadn't thought their age gap was great enough for something like that. They certainly act more like siblings than anything else.
Raised him? He repeats.
Toka rests her chin on her arms, still not looking at him.
Lady Tsubame died when he was 6 and I was 12. There wasn't a lot of raising left to do by that time, but I helped where I could. Hashirama was always busy, so Tobirama got left with his brothers a lot. I think that's one of the reasons he's always so serious. He was never allowed to be a child. Not then, and not once, Hashirama started speaking out against their father. Butsuma was a great shinobi, but he had no idea how to be a parent. And Tobirama was always so smart that Butsuma focused on making him a strong soldier and forgot he was a child. Or he just didn't care. I could never tell with him. For a long moment, Madara debates how to respond. But he's curious, and if anyone can make sense of things, he thinks it will be this woman, who did what Hashirama should have. "I spoke to Hashirama yesterday," he says quietly. "He said that Tobirama was very like his father." Toka's smile disappears, replaced by a scowl. "Let me guess. You got the always quick to draw his sword, always ignoring morals in favor of gain line." Anger shifts like a tide inside him. More testing the very boundaries of sense when he's looking for power in the second part, but yes, I take it he's said such things before? The Kunoichi shrugs. "Maybe not to others, but to me? Yes, I can understand it, after all. They're very different people. Hashirama would rather hold back, even in front of a threat, while Tobirama would rather strike it down and eliminate it before it can become a threat. But he's not Butsuma, and I don't think Hashirama has ever fully realized that. I don't think he wants to." She sighs softly, raking a hand through her long hair. "Things haven't been the same between them since Tobirama followed him to his meetings with you, and then reported it to their father. Hashirama feels betrayed, but he'll never come out and say it because he doesn't want to hurt Tobirama. And at the same time, he can't forget it, so it lingers between them, even if Tobirama isn't aware of it." That sounds very much like something Hashirama would do, clinging to his good intentions and ignoring the reality of the situation. With a beleaguered sigh, Madara rubs the rapidly multiplying wrinkles on his brow. "I really should have broken his nose." That startles a laugh out of Toka. "Don't worry, I'll take care of it for you," she offers with a lazy, entirely predatory grin. And Madara is suddenly, unsettlingly aware of just why Izuna seems so besotted. "It's about time someone other than Tobirama gets the chance to bloody him up a bit." "I don't appreciate you talking about me when I'm not present," Tobirama says, making both of them look up to find him coming up the path. Hikaku next to him. Giving Toka a scowl, he adds, "Nor do I appreciate you threatening my brother." Toka rolls her eyes, and the resemblance between cousins becomes startlingly obvious. "I beat up the big dork all the time, and you've never protested before," she counters, rising to her feet. "So, got a kitten in your pocket? That kid on your back?" Hikaku snickers, even as Tobirama pointedly ignores him and Toka both to look at Madara. "Was there something you needed?" he asks coolly. But his expression is cautiously cordial. Madara glances at Toka, and then at Hikaku, both of whom are watching with unconcealed interest. "Lunch," he says with a huff at the two spectators. "I wanted your opinion on peace terms." "I'm not invited," Toka drawls, lazily amused. "How hurtful. I should at least come along to chaperone." "You'd break my brother's heart so easily," Madara retorts. "I think he was planning a picnic. Are you really going to miss it?" There's a subtle shift to the Kunoichi's expression, to something Madara might almost call excitement, and she smooths a hand over her hair. "Well, I suppose if he's gone to all the trouble..." She starts, and Tobirama snorts. She gives him a poisonous glare, huffs, and stalks back into the house without another word. "Seeing as they're the ones who need a chaperone, I'll wait here," Hikaku volunteers. Though Madara knows that smile. He's going to tease Izuna mercilessly as soon as the other man arrives. Since Madara's torn between that same reaction and feeling impossibly long-suffering, he doesn't protest, but nods to Tobirama and falls into step beside him as they head for the gate.